We
are.
We
are.
We are cultivate.
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 We are cultivate.
Hello and welcome to a special mini-sode of Ye Olde Crime, the show where Maddie and I discuss the funny, strange, and obscure crimes of yesteryear every Wednesday. This special bi-weekly segment is called Can You Crack the Cramp Word, which is slang for a difficult or obscure term, which I thought was very fitting. And joining me today are Faga and Mizal from the D-Listers of History podcast. And before we begin, I'd like to give them the opportunity to tell us a little more about themselves and their show before we get started. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. I'm excited to be back.
Post for the first time.
Post Bible-sode, as it were.
Yes. Yeah.
So, D-Listers of History, we are a podcast where we talk about people you've never heard of who changed the world. And so these are people who, I mean, just like it says, so these are people who tend to have done something really important that we still haven't really heard about them, or they're very representative of a moment in time. Mm-hmm. And we kind of dig into that and see kind of why we should care about these people. We always have an eye on the present when we talk about history.
Yeah. And so we do the longer episodes on every other week and then the other every other week. We do shorter little episodes that look at a current political event or something that's currently happening, and we dig into what are the historical, like, what's the historical context behind that we can use to understand what is happening in the moment.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's like, it's some fun history stuff, but we're also, you know, trying to save the world or whatever.
Yeah. I think you mentioned, Faga, when you were on the tunnels.
Yes.
Under the synagogue, yes.
Yes, I couldn't help myself, given that we're both Jewish. I was like, Jewish tunnels? Here we are.
We were telling someone about that the other day, I don't remember who, and they're like, oh, is it the girl with the tunnels? And
yeah.
I'm like, wow, they're...
That's
they're,
what I said.
We have to, like, specify which tunnel it is.
It's the year of tunnels.
I know. That's what we said. I was like, it's the year 2024, the year of tunnels. Who knew? But here we are.
I can think of much worse things.
This is true. Yeah. Because I'm super curious and I like learning more about people. How did the two of you meet?
It's the silliest story. We met on Facebook. Well,
there was this Facebook group that I don't think is a thing anymore. What was it called? Like,
Jewbook Shidduch posting?
I think. Yeah. It's like, so a Shidduch in Judaism is like a matchmaker. So it's basically a Facebook group where you just sort of like set your friends up with each other, sort of.
Oh.
But so when you join the group, they ask you to post a bio. And
they actually call it a resume, by the way, which is a very weird thing.
Yeah.
But that's like in the Orthodox community, they talk about like their dating resume.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
It's like a more in-depth Tinder bio.
What are your credentials?
I mean, literally, yeah.
So Faga had posted, you know, a little bit about, you know, like you posted about yourself and then some things that you were looking for in a partner. And did you, like, we used to go, where do you see yourself in 5 years sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So Faga had posted that. And when I first joined, I actually never posted any resume. Oh, and you also, like, put your city so we could, like, search by city.
Yeah.
So
oh, sure.
I had searched by city, and I had seen that Faga had posted that, and that was, I think you'd posted it, like, a month or two before I joined the group. And I was like, okay, that's all cool and whatnot, and it sounds like a cool person, and I'm, like, I don't know if I'm, you know, ready to ask someone out or not. So I just, like, held off, but I put notifications on for the post. And, like, 3 or 4 months later, I got a notification that someone had commented on it, and they're like, "You sound cool. We should meet up." And I was like, "No, we should meet up." So I sent Faga a message and was like, "Hey, we should meet up."
then, it was very much like a pitch, because it was like, yeah. I saw these things in your profile, and I also want these things. So
and here's a bit about me. You should go on a date with me.
And you'd also checked. We had a lot of mutuals.
Yeah, we had like 6 mutual friends or whatever. So
she knew I wasn't an axe murderer. Yeah,
that's always helpful. That's always
one of the advantages of being Jewish. Like Jewish geography, like it's you always know somebody who knows somebody, at least around this area.
Yeah, and so. Then yeah. Now we've been together 6 years.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I was a little unsure because at the time she was living in Bryn Mawr, which is a half hour drive out of the city.
Yeah,
and I was like,
going to college there.
And I was like, I don't know. If
I wasn't
I wanna...
in college at the time, but I
was like, I don't know if I want to go out to Bryn Mawr.
I was in college.
I was like, well, I'll go on one date and see if it's worth going out to the suburbs.
We met like halfway between.
Yeah, in Wynwood.
There you go.
I go by that restaurant frequently.
That's cute. This is always a fun question to ask other history-based podcasters. If you could travel to any period in history, where would you go and why?
Would I be able to come back at any point in time?
Yes, you wouldn't be stuck there. You wouldn't be stranded. It'd be like a visit. Okay. Like a day trip.
Okay, because that changes things.
Yeah. This isn't like the time machine where you're like stuck in an alternate time.
Yeah, because like there are some bad times that,
yeah,
like, as far as like germ theory goes and other things that could be not fun. Where would you go? Or when would you go?
I mean, I want to go to the future to live in Star Trek.
Was that
that's
an option?
Fair.
I don't know, but that's what I want.
That would be very cool.
Except not on Deep Space Nine. It's my favorite show, but I don't want to live there.
No,
that looks really
awful.
Complicated. Like,
yeah,
just like
you've got like Space Hitler running around
in the middle of a war zone. No,
like
Space Hitler. Yeah, yeah.
I guess the real answer would be, I mean, I guess it'd be kind of cool to meet like the Continental Congress, and you know, I do so much talking about the American Revolution. It'd be kind of neat to meet some of those guys,
yeah.
And guess meet some of their just everybody has their little foibles, and some of them we know because like people like Franklin just wrote it all down. Franklin's like, here,
yep.
I am, warts and all. Yep. I'd be curious with some of the other guys that are a little more circumspect.
Yeah, there's a book that it's a book series that I really like. It's called Off to Be the Wizard. It's the first name of the first book by Scott Myers. And it's about this guy who basically finds out they're living in the Matrix. He like cracks the code and he's, ooh, you know, digging around the back end he likes to hack like, you know, major corporations just for fun, not to do anything, just for fun. And he finds this like code that he realizes he can alter reality. And pretty quickly gets himself into trouble by like, you know, putting money in his bank account and stuff like that. And he has to flee the, I don't remember if it was the FBI or something. And he has to flee and he decides that he's going to go back in time to medieval Europe and pretend to be a wizard. And hijinks ensue, and it is an extremely funny book. The audiobook is, I would recommend the audiobook because the narrator is incredible. His name is Luke Daniels. Anyway, so that seems like a kind of fun thing to go back. And I mean, I don't have the ability to like alter reality, so that might be, but if I did, that mm-hmm. seems like a fun thing.
I will say, though, whenever people talk about like, oh, I'm going to go back in time and I'm going to be like a genius wizard, whatever, I'm like, do you really know how to explain the how technology works? Like, do you really know how to build? Like, if mm-hmm. you have nothing, like,
yeah,
I'm pretty tech savvy, But like, if I was in medieval Europe, I don't know how to do anything.
we don't have the base materials.
Right. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to do, like, I can build a computer today.
Yeah.
Like, I go there, I'm going to be like, I don't even know what these tools are, man. Like,
we would get more days off a year, though.
Yes, we would. Get more days off a year being a medieval peasant, but not a great time to be a Jew in Europe, though.
No.
Yeah.
The fashion was on point, though.
Yeah.
Very on brand. I think that's all the questions I have for you. Would you like to jump into the slang term portion of the interview?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Faiga, you are up first.
Okay.
And your first term is mops and brooms.
Mops and brooms. It's so hard with, like, no context. besides,
I can give it to you in a sentence if you want.
Sure, let's do that.
Okay.
I mean, I have some ideas. I just want to hear it in a sentence before I commit.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's like a rhyming slang thing.
I was thinking maybe something like a way of saying like all the things. Like soup to nuts.
Something about cleaning or...
I guess. I don't know.
So the example that was given is Bosky, blind as Chloe, mops and brooms and fuddled.
That doesn't help. Not mops and brooms and was it fuddled?
And fuddled.
Fuddled. It's another slang term.
Oh.
I mean, to me it sounds like befuddled, but I don't know if that's just a homonym. I'm so bad at this. I mean, I'm going to guess that, oh, no, I don't know.
I was trying to think what's like rhyming slang things that could possibly be. And all I can think of is like hops and shrooms. And I don't think either of those are it.
No. I'm sorry. Could I have the sentence again?
Sure. It's Bosky, blind as Chloe, mops and brooms and fuddled.
I wonder if Chloe is a person or just like an adjective.
I mean, I'm assuming Chloe's a person, but that might not be accurate.
Bosky and Chloe are people's names.
Okay. I'm going to here's my official guess that it's a reference. It's a reference to their class level, that they're like some sort of like working class people who use mops and brooms.
Okay. That is a good guess. The actual answer is mops and brooms means intoxicated.
Nice.
And it was used as early as 1791.
Nice. So if I go back in time and like chat up Ben Franklin, I can be like, actually, Ben Franklin's a bad example because I don't think he'd be alive at that point. To, I don't know, someone who is alive and be like, mops and brooms, man. You know who is mops and broomsed was actually the Continental Congress after they finished the, what's our founding? What is our document? It has all our laws. Yeah, thank you. Constitution. When they finished the Constitution, they went to a local tavern and consumed an absolutely shocking amount of alcohol. So they were definitely mops and broomsed.
Yeah. So according to Green's Dictionary of Slang, which is a fun website to go and play with, it says they used to have mop fairs, which were annual fairs held in the UK West Country, at which servants put themselves up for hire. So a young woman would carry a mop or a broom to indicate what type of job she wanted. And the alcohol part comes in where the fairs were accompanied by a lot of drinking. So
what would a mop indicate versus a broom? Because to me, they're both cleaning implements.
I don't know what the difference would be.
Like, I mean, they were different.
Sweep,
there were different types of maids, though. So maybe it was like one's a scullery maid and one's a, that's the only type of maid that I can come up with off the top of my head. But there were a lot of different, different types of maids at different levels and things.
And then according to Houghton's 1874 slang dictionary, it suggests that the world about them appears to resemble such implements to a very drunken person. So like every kind of like in Fantasia where like there's all these brooms everywhere. Like just imagine there's like brooms and stuff everywhere. So that was kind of a funny one.
That is funny. But. I love all the words people come up with for being drunk.
Yeah.
I know. There's literally thousands of them. It's great. Okay. Mizal.
Yes.
Your first term is fishing fleet.
Fishing fleet. Can I have it in a sentence?
Yes.
Feels very spelling bee.
Okay. Bridget and Georgette were part of the fishing fleet in the winter, hoping to come back with a catch in the spring.
Oh, are they like people looking for like husbands or partners or whatever?
That's the first thing I thought of.
Like they're because if they're coming back with a catch, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it is a Georgian term for an unmarried British woman who would be sent to India each year by their parents during the cool weather to try to find a husband.
Ah.
Nice.
As one does.
As one does. So cash. Like, oh, are you part of the fishing fleet? Me too. Let's go, girl. So excited. So yay, you got that one right.
Yay. Good job. 1 point.
All right. Faga, your second term is eat a fig.
Eat a fig.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
Let's hear it in a sentence.
Bruce decided it would be a smart idea to eat a fig under the cover of darkness.
Oh, well, that gets rid of what I was thinking of. I was thinking it'd be sort of like a way of like, I don't remember if you curse on this podcast.
Yes, you can curse.
I thought it was, I thought it might be like a go fuck off, like, you know, go eat a fig. but that doesn't quite. Masturbate? I'm going to go with masturbate.
I like that answer better.
It's like, what would you do under cover of darkness?
Well, when you know what it actually is, it might make more sense. But eat a fig meant to break into a house or commit a burglary.
It's like the same, right?
I feel like, I don't know, it's always weird to me because it's like, at night, yes, it's dark, but also that's when people are home. So,
yeah, PSA, usually burglaries don't happen at night. They happen during the day when you're not at home. Work. Yeah.
This was first used in Houghton's Dictionary of Modern Slang in 1859. And the rhyming slang of this is to crack a crib.
I mean, to my modern ear, that sounds.
I mean,
I can see eat a fig like you're going into somebody's house and eating their stuff.
Is that where crib referring to your house comes from?
Maybe, yeah. To crack a crib, to like break into somebody's house, so fetch.
I'm just sort of struck by the comparison. There's somebody who died at Eastern State Penitentiary. Their cause of death was put as masturbation. And so I'm sort of like wondering what that person then was put in for. So we might have like some synchronicity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They died of masturbation.
They were very concerned about masturbation at Eastern State Penitentiary back in the 19th century.
I think if I'm getting this, if I'm remembering correctly, that was prime time for, I can't remember the name of the quote-unquote like illness that is not actually a thing that exists, where people thought that like if you masturbate too much then it could cause some like issues with infertility and like you could like spill all of your seed, quote-unquote.
I don't know what it's called either, but I, yeah.
And, like, that was prime time for people being diagnosed with you know, infertility due to masturbation.
They had all sorts of weird things they diagnosed. Like, there was one where they would diagnose people with, like, this disease that was, like, you were just, like, having random orgasms all the time.
Yeah. What was the name of it?
Wasn't it, like, hysteria if you didn't have enough orgasms?
Well, that was if you were a woman. This was a one that was for men.
If you had anything going on.
That was, like, you complained that your husband has a mistress.
Yeah.
Or... you are
sad.
She's got hysteria.
Yeah, you don't do the dishes enough. Hysteria. But the treatment was pretty fun.
I guess. It depends if you are actually like actually have something really bad going on.
Yeah, it's true. But if you're just
that would be
if you're just making people mad, like going to a place and like using a vibrator, not too bad.
Yeah, actually, that's, like, how vibrators were invented, yeah. If I'm remembering correctly. I saw there's this Reddit subreddit that I can't remember what it's called. It's, like, antiques or so. I don't know. It just popped up on my like, feed one day where it was, like, what is this? I found this in a thrift store. And they're, like, I think it I know what it looks like, but it certainly can't be that. And it was like an 1800s vibrator. Those things are massive and apparently very loud.
Steam powered. Yeah.
Weren't there ones too at some point where you could like plug them into the wall? Like they actual like cords on them?
I think you can still buy, well, maybe.
But it was from like the Victorian era or something crazy. Yeah.
Maybe.
I'd have to find it. But yeah, I remember seeing an advertisement that was like, ooh.
Before lithium ion batteries became a thing.
Yeah.
Before the Duracell. Ms. Al.
Yes.
Your second and final term is sad dog.
Kind of in a sentence.
Yes. You have always been a sad dog. You'll never come to good.
I'm just imagining, like, an actual dog that's just, like, very sad.
Oh.
It's like with the was in the arms of an angel just playing. Just...
Oh, yeah, the Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
ASPCA commercial.
Whenever our cats are upset about something, we sing that song to them.
Yeah.
Like, we won't let them on the countertop. You know, in the arms of the angels.
Okay, so always been a sad dog. You'll never come to good. I'm going to guess someone who's just, like, you know, not getting far in life. Like they're just not.
Like a failure to launch kind of thing?
Like you know, when people are just, you know, things that a lot of times people say about poor people or whatnot, they're just like, oh, you're just not, you know, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps sort of thing. But like maybe someone who is struggling with,
so kind of like a down on their luck type of person.
Yeah, maybe someone who's like struggling with, you know, mental illness or addiction or something. I don't know.
You're close. A sad dog is a wicked or debauched person.
That doesn't seem fair to the dogs.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Dogs are nice.
I love
Mine's
dogs.
Mine's literally behind me right now.
I see him on the couch. He's very cute.
Yeah, when we recorded last time, I didn't notice until the very end. And I was like,
yeah. Yeah, she's very good at just laying. That's her thing.
That's nice.
Yeah, this term, this noun, was used as far back as 1706.
Oh, she's doing a stretch.
I was always like, forget the etymology. The dog is doing something.
You've got admirers, Kona.
Oh, look at them wagging the tail.
Cute.
I would like to thank Faiga and Mazal for joining me today for Can You Crack the Cramp Word? And before we go, can you please tell our listeners where they can find you on social media and when new episodes of your show come out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Generally, you can find pretty much everything you want to find on our website, dlistersofhistory.com. It has links to our Facebook and Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, and it's just... There's no dash between the D and the listener. That's just all
just letters. Nothing else. And we're on all the various podcatchers like Bull and Spotify and whatever. Yeah, so we're on all the things. And but generally just delistersofhistory.com. That's where pretty much everything lives.
We're also at Delisters of History on Instagram, on TikTok.
Facebook. And Threads, although I don't post in Threads yet, but I made us a thing on Threads.
And I think, Faiga, you mentioned when you were on last that you're now publishing weeklies?
Yes. Yeah. So every week there's something coming out. Every other week it's longer biographical episodes. And then on the weeks that are not those weeks, we do sidebars, which are shorter episodes looking at the historical context of some sort of current event.
And on that note... As always, I'm Lindsay, and I'll see you next time with another tale as old as crime.